Sans Pants Radio.
Eat my dust, slime ball! Eat fumes, Wormo!
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
And today we're going to be looking at Resident Evil Biohazard 7, another game. Hey, I nearly called it Resident Biohazard, so let's all just thank our lucky stars. I nailed it.
Thank you, lucky stars.
Yeah, well Thanks, lucky stars that are lucky.
So, Jackson.
What?
When we said we were going to play through a pile of shame, all three of the boys in this room realized that whilst we do occasionally get new games of recent, we have lots of old games we haven't played yet. And you were like, Resident Evil 7, maybe I'm a Resident Evil boy. Maybe. Is this correct?
I think I'm a Resident Evil boy. I think it's, and I have been watching trailers and upcoming gameplay footage of Resident Evil Village, and not just for the mummy milkins, also because I'm really keen to play that game.
And get stepped on.
And get trod on by that gigantic woman.
Do you think if they removed any one aspect of the character design if the internet would like her as much?
No. Yeah, no, I don't think the hat is integral. Yes.
So the hat,
yep,
the dress, the size
of all aspects of her.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And the fact she's a vampire.
Yeah.
If you remove any of those, you think everyone's like,
I think it's
whatever.
The perfect storm. Yeah. And like, it is the perfect.
I think if you remove the vampire, you might be able to get away with it.
Yes, that's true.
That's about it.
Well, I don't even know if she's necessarily...
Which is why, she eats you, doesn't she?
Which is why I think like if you remove the whole vampire thing... I don't know if she's a vampire.
I don't know what she is, but that's very exciting.
But
I
mean, like, mystery monster. Yeah. She's got to be something or other.
That's very
all
true.
All we know, all that we can say for sure is she's big and she's made everyone horny.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
The internet came together to be like, yes, we are horny for this.
Yeah, exactly. It was
unified.
The Capcom boardroom was like... Right, we are making a game for Resident Evil. I know we associate that with zombies, but what if horny?
Yeah,
and wrote it on like a whiteboard, and then you circled it that three times.
I like to think it's that horny. They wrote HORNT up, haunt up. That's what we want to get to people. Yeah. Anyway, so Resident Evil 7 is a game that came out before Resident Evil Village, and it's a Resident Evil game. It's first person, which I think is kind of newish for the series.
It is. They have done it before, but not in a
mainline game. Yeah. The premise is that you get a message from your girlfriend that you haven't seen, or your ex-girlfriend you haven't seen in a long time. She's like, don't come find me. And you're like, I'm going to come find you.
Simp.
Yeah, simp. You're simping for your ex, and you go to the swamp.
Disgusting.
Where hillbilly family live. And oh no,
Hills have eyes.
It's the hillbilly family are gooed up, and you got to escape the family.
Gooed?
Yeah, well, they're kind of powered by a horrible black mold, and that's the kind of the spooky monster part of this game. There's actually no real like zombies in a traditional sense.
Yeah.
It's like either the family members themselves, and this game does an incredible job of, so there's the dad, whose name I can't recall, the mum, whose name I can't recall.
Johnny Dad and Johnny Mum.
Johnny Dad, Johnny Mum, Johnny Older Brother, and Johnny Ex-Girlfriend. Okay.
And Johnny Ex-Girlfriend, is she related to the other three? Is she part of the family?
Spoilers. Never mind. And there's Johnny's sister too. I forgot.
Spoilers, never mind.
Anyway, so...
We're reaching mystical planes in this episode.
Never mind.
Welcome to the astral realm.
Is that a spoiler because this is what's going to happen, or spoiler? No, I forgot. Never mind.
It definitely felt like a verbal sleight of hand.
Pay attention to my eyes, boys.
Those words snuck in.
Spoilers. Yeah, to keep you awake for a while.
Spoilers, never mind. What?
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
So continue.
The only enemies are that family and then like beings made of the black mold.
Okay.
And so those family members kind of act as boss fights, but also just kind of enemies in the game, and you just can't defeat them unless you're in like the specific boss fights with them.
Yeah. So is this a Resident Evil that also was out in like VR?
Yeah, cool. So and the family members are by far the most stressful part of the game. Like fighting mold monsters is spooky or whatever.
Johnny Mold.
But when you're running away, you're like trying to solve those Resident Evil like mysteries, which are all those puzzles, which are really simple puzzles. It's just like find the dog head or whatever. But at the same time, you gotta find. You gotta find three metal dog heads. I know that just sounded like the kind of thing I'd make up, but it's just in the game. Spoilers, never mind. Find this dog head. You gotta find three dog heads to get
don't
outside.
Don't worry, there's three of them in the metal. To get outside, okay.
To get outside, because you're trapped in the house. So, okay, you try to find your ex-girlfriend.
Yep.
You find her, but then you're captured, knocked unconscious, and she kind of starts to go evil, and it's like, oh no, what's going on?
Mm.
And you got to run away from her. You get captured. You wake up tied to a chair in, like, the family home.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The mama is like, eat this. It looks like brains, and that's a real stressful part. And then there's a knock at the front door, and they're like, oh, we're going to go check on it. And you got to, like, get out of your chair and go find it. The whole while, Nana's just sitting there on the chair.
This is very the end of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It's very stressful. And it's just a house. And this game does such a good job of making a dirty house feel very scary. Like, you know the feeling of going into a really filthy house?
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't want to touch anything. I don't want to step on anything.
Me and Zamet have been to your house.
Yeah. Imagine my house, the game. But that's like the whole... like
you live in a lovely house at the moment. When you live in the garage, the garage was filthy.
The garage was my Resident Evil. That was my biohazard.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I reckon I would not have walked into that room barefoot.
No, I wouldn't.
I'd stand
either.
On a tissue and be like,
so many times. I remember once being like, I had someone over and like, oh, this is like, you know, Jack's room slash garage. And they were like, has he been robbed? Because it was just like
shit, all everywhere.
The shit everywhere. Wardrobes were like flung open and clothes on the floor.
I was robbing myself just, like, of dignity.
I guess he was looking for something in particular.
If I walked into your old garage bedroom car hole business and your mattress was just overturned on the floor, I wouldn't.
Bear.
I wouldn't even register.
Where Jackson is. And then if I emerge from underneath all the clothes, oh, sorry, just sleeping. Well, we got
like
a record.
Dog on the floor.
Okay.
It's not on the mattress. It's a pile of clothes.
Are we recording?
So, yes. We know the horrors of a dirty house.
Yeah, well, that's the whole game is like that. And it's so good. Like, it's so evocative, and it makes you feel...
Evocative.
Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. So, like, there's a puzzle you got to do that opens up a secret, like, hallway or a secret corridor.
To get a dog head.
To get a dog head, yes. But the corridor is just through, like, the walls of a house. Like, it's not... It doesn't feel fancy. It doesn't feel like a secret corridor. You're just, like, climbing amongst the insulation. And as you do that, there's, like, centipedes. But it's not, like, monstrous. You're just like, this house is filthy. I
gross.
Don't want to touch anything.
So
that was, like... It was just such a great aspect. It was genuinely scary. And like I said, the puzzles are simple and basic enough that I never got frustrated trying to figure out what to do. To the point where, because this always happens to me with a horror game.
Uh-huh.
The puzzles are too complicated, and so I just get frustrated, and then any monster is just annoying because I'm like, let me solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
But in this, I knew exactly what I needed to do every time, and I knew that it would be in a kind of finite area, so if I hadn't figured it out yet, I just had to keep searching. And so that kind of made the monsters, or the Johnnies, way more frightening, because I was like, I know what I need to do, please just leave me alone.
Do you have guns in this game?
You do. So you start off with just a pistol, and then slowly you get sort of more weapons, but obviously, you know, it's a survival horror, so you do need to conserve your ammunition, which I obviously never do.
No, why would you?
Makes the game.
Hey, a gun. Just testing.
It is always funny when, like, the monster's coming at me and I pull the gun out and just miss it completely. It's just always made me laugh. I'd be like, stay away. Shot the roof. Uh-oh, turn around and run. Oh, Mamma Mia. So that in a way made it more frightening, because I would be like, oh no, I've only got 5 bullets or whatever to do this, but I'm just going to have to run past them. The story as well is like, really, you're like, what happened to this family? Because it's not, you're kind of like obvious, you know, it's just not obvious what's going on at first.
Yep.
There's a really good twist in it as well that I was like, damn, hot damn, that twist.
Spoiler alert, never mind.
No, that's not what the spoiler alert
okay,
was.
Okay, never mind.
That's
okay,
also, I guess, another twist, but it's not the twist.
I'm never minding. You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, good.
What was the spoiler? What was the twist? I want to know. I'm never going to play this by myself.
I will
scared.
Play it. Don't spoil it, because your review's done the job and made me want to play
it. It's great.
I don't want to know the ending of this, then.
All right.
It's genuinely, every boss fight as well, was really intense. The boss fight, there's two boss fights against the Johnny Dad, right?
Uh-huh.
And you're in the first boss fight and you're in a garage and he's just coming at you with a big, I think he has like an axe or something. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a car in there. And you're like, I get in the car. I run him down. But if you don't get in the car quick enough, he gets in the car and he runs you over in a garage. And it's so, to be tail whipped by a car as part of a boss fight, awesome. So yeah, and then there's the second boss fight against the dad. You're basically dueling chainsaws. It's incredible.
That also, yeah, this game seems very heavily influenced by a Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It super is, yeah.
The start of the game is the ending of the first movie, and there's also chainsaw fights in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 heaps.
They do a really good job of evoking that kind of like 1970s dirty slasher feeling.
Oh, cool.
They just nail it. Okay. And it, you know, I finished it, completed it, like clocked that bad boy. It was something I wanted to play every night. Video game ennui. Farewell. Au revoir.
Au revoir, ennui.
If I had any criticisms, I would say that the boss fights after, they were always tense and fun, but after the second boss fight with the dad, they were never hard again. And I was like, that's kind of a shame. Like the second boss fight with the dad, I was sweating, dying again and again and again. And then like when I got him, it was so viscerally, because none of the enemies can really die. That's kind of like the fungus is keeping them alive or whatever.
Okay.
So in the first boss fight, like spoilers or whatever, but you, not the spoilers I'm keeping, this is whatever, but you like, you get in the car because you find the keys and you run him down in the car a couple of times and then you just like wail on him and you're like, he's on fire, the car explodes and he burns up and you're like, he's gotta be dead. And then you find him again and you're like, oh my God.
This man can't die.
He just can't die. And so when you're fighting him again, you're like jamming the chainsaw into him and he's just like, whatever. And you're like, so getting him in that one was really satisfying and really hard. And then none of the other boss fights ever quite, they were still fun. They just were never as maddening as they were in that moment. And also another thing is that there's a moment where you've got to make a choice, right? Mm-hmm. And the choice is about, it's about who you help effectively. And you can either help your ex-girlfriend or you can help Johnny's sister. And I helped Johnny's sister because my ex-girlfriend had attacked me too many times. And I was like, you can stay a monster. You're mean. But it never had really much in the way of consequences. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I would have liked to have suffered for that because she seemed pretty pissed. And I was like, maybe there'll be like a boss fight with her later. But it kind of wasn't. So that was kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Also, again, this isn't really a criticism, but when it got... So it started off really horror-y, but then, and I think this just happens with every Resident Evil game, in the end it's very sci-fi. Not sci-fi, but
it just
it's
gets
like,
crazy.
Well, it's like, yeah, it's like, it starts off, you're like, I'm terrified, I'm stressed, and in the end you're like going through a laboratory throwing bombs at zombies whatever, and you're like, okay, Resident Evil, but that's still fun. Like
Resident Evil 4, I mean, has a pretty similar start where you go into a village and everyone's like trying to kill you, like, what is going on? And there's like a... people like stuck to a wall with a pitchfork through their brain. You're like, what is
happening?
Yeah. Then by the end of the game, you're like, yeah, there's a guy that's a giant plant head or whatever.
Exactly.
I'm got a bazooka.
Even Resident Evil 2, like my first Resident Evil game, the remake.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And I played that clock too. But that where you're like, oh my God, I'm in this big spooky mansion, zombies. Oh my God, crawling zombies. And then you're like, yeah, big eye guy. I'm going to hit him with a train or whatever. Cool. So that's always kind of, not a shame, but it's just a funny like genre shift that happens.
So strange to me that any game released by Capcom, and especially Resident Evil, can suck you off enough that you finish it, because they, whilst explicitly aren't in the art style of anime, are so anime at heart.
I think certainly the first ones are, but this one is very, certainly Resident Evil 7. There's no elements, or there's barely any elements of it that I would classify as anime. Maybe a little bit at some points, but a lot of it is just scary swamp horror. And I love swamps, dude.
That's true. But like Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy very that anime. I enjoyed that game. But the gameplay is mwah, mwah, bellissimo. And it's one of those games as well that ties the gameplay and story together so very well in a way that isn't frustrating ever. Like the fact that the mold had taken over the family or whatever, and you can't kill them, it's not annoying because you're like, yeah, that makes sense. And then it's a gameplay element of you've just got to avoid them or whatever. And that's cool. Mm. Yeah, look, five thumbs. I loved it. I'm so excited for Resident Evil Village. I love that it's like, obviously, Mummy Milkers. That's great. Yeah. But also I love that they're like, we're going to lean really hard into like a gothic horror, that there's werewolves and shit. What? What is going on?
I'm worried for your future because I feel like based on everything I know about Resident Evil Village, that it's going to end up really, because Resident Evil's stories are usually wildly convoluted.
Do you know the amount of times now that I'm a Resident Evil guy that I've been like, I'm not going to play all the games ever in my life, but I should listen to some people summarizing like the Resident.
I'm shaking my head.
It's like I get 10 minutes in because they're often like 40 minutes long and I'm like, I retained none of that.
Albert Wesker. Yeah. Umbrella Corporation.
Progenitor virus.
Yep.
Las Plagas, baby. Yeah,
Resident Evil 4. Kennedy.
What?
President's daughter. Yeah. Ashley.
Yeah, exactly.
Leon, help!
Project Veronica.
Yeah, I'm there for all of it.
Yeah. Understand none of it.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, cool, this is anime. Yeah. It's just overly convoluted and everything is something.
Absolute nonsense. Hectic. But five thumbs, a great game. I recommend
if, I'm going to play it.
Yeah, I hope you do. Heaps of DLCs as well. Heaps of DLCs.
Didn't know that.
There's at least two effectively like mini campaigns.
Heaps, like two.
Well, no, there's two mini campaigns and then there's three or four or maybe even five. Small extra like, I guess mini games almost. So like one, you're just trapped in a bedroom and you have to be really quiet because the Johnny mom is going to come back and she's trying to make you a zombie.
The go to bed simulator.
Yeah. So you're like in the bedroom and you've got to be really quiet because if you don't, she comes in and stabs you in the eyes or whatever. And you got to figure out the puzzles just within that one room. One of them, you collect pizza for your dad. So
that's nice.
There's a lot of one of them is you literally play poker, but if you lose you get your fingers chopped off. So there's a whole bunch of weird little extra DLCs, including two full-on campaigns, one where you play as Leon. So there you go.
Oh my god.
Called Not a Hero or something.
No More Heroes 3.
That's it. So yeah, five thumbs. I've loved it so much. It's genuinely one of the greatest gaming experiences I've had of 2021. Won't be game of the year, but I gotta crack out the Nintendo 64 for that. Yes. But it's great. Five thumbs. Love it. What a game. I recommend.
Well, that's good to hear. So obviously Jackson and you often on Thumb Cramps will talk about the enjoyment of multiplayer games and how co-op games and stuff like that are fun.
Yeah.
Obviously, except for our famous Donkey Kong spat.
Yeah. We cannot play Donkey Kong Country together.
We put the rhino in the hole
and
we blame each other.
When they're like, you can both control the rhino, that was sort of the final nail in the coffin.
That's
okay. I can finish it with Adam. All right. There's a synergy there.
Yeah.
We want different things for the rhino.
Some of us want to be before the hole. Some of us want to be after the hole. Yeah. Together, we're in the hole.
Exactly.
Rhino goes in the hole. We lose our lives. Yeah. We start again. We yell at each other.
Yeah.
Same thing happens.
Same thing happens because we will never see eye to eye.
Put us in a mine cart. Oh, no.
Oh, great. I want to duck. You want to jump. We get hit by a rock. Okay. The buzzsaw slices our Kong brains open. That's what happens there.
Every time.
A bee slams directly into our skull, obliterating it, filling us with bee poison. Yeah. We die a slow and painful.
Very
death
painful
while
death.
Yelling at each other.
It was your fault.
your fault. Yeah. So we can't play Donkey Kong together, but other multiplayer games we get by.
Yeah. So maybe it turns out that I am just bad to play co-op games with because recently I have been playing Human Fall Flat and I have never, ever, ever been anywhere near as close to the levels of anger that I reached whilst playing Human Fall Flat with last week's special guest, Hayden. So, teamwork and cooperation and discussion and obviously just knowing how the game works, all pretty vital Human Fall Flat.
Yeah.
Hayden and I,
Hayden and I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, if you want to talk about, okay, so the big issues we have is finding a shortcut that takes like 5 or so minutes to do.
Okay.
But it's not fun.
Yeah, okay.
But it gets you through the level. Me, I'm like, well, yeah, okay, cool. If we just climb this wall, which is a little tricky, but
you can figure it out for sure.
It cuts
Spider-Man
like a big,
it.
Yeah. Good boy, bad boy.
It cuts a big part of the level out. Hayden's like, no, that's boring. And then we'll just jump on me and grab my head until I let go.
That rules.
But we'll do it for like 15 minutes to the point where I'm like, God. This isn't
yes, Hayden.
Fun
yes.
for me or you. If we just decide, like, I could follow you.
Yeah. You could do the level properly.
We can do the level properly, that's fine. But instead, you're opting just to hold on to my head.
Oh, my God.
And then when we do the level properly, we get to a thing where he can't figure it out. And I'm like, well, we could just climb this. Like, no! That's boring. And they'd be like, no, just come over here. Just come over here. Just come over here. Do this thing. And then it won't work. And I'll be like, Hayden, you don't. You just.
How anyway, far did you get?
The water level.
That's. Not the end, but it's
like bang on halfway through. And apparently the water level, even with good communication, is tough.
Yeah. It can be.
There's a lot of... Yeah, it can be. And we could row together in the boat, but instead, no. Yeah. Everyone always tries to take the boat for themselves. Mm-hmm. Hayden loves to... I know I also do some bad things here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hayden loves to take the speedboat, drive it, fall off, and then the speedboat's in the sea. We can't get to it.
It's very funny.
How does he fall off a boat?
This feels like more of a Thumb Cramps review of Hayden than it does of Human Fall Flat, which is fine.
But also, Human Fall Flat, it's... So playing Human Fall Flat now in 2021, you can see why it was a very popular party game at the time or fun game to play with friends, but there is so many games now that have done similar things but better. And because I'm used to those games, when I go back and play Human Fall Flat, I'm like, there's a few janky things that, whilst it's meant to be janky, so it's funny, it's not, it's more just ends up being kind of like
Human Fall Flat. You never feel really fully in control of your character. You always feel like before every level, you're shot with like three tranquilizers.
It's just a game I cannot get my head around. Yeah. I am terrible at it. I'm like, do that kind of climb swing. And I'm like, I just can't. Yeah. I'm doing my best.
Well, the game doesn't really require you to do that too much. A lot of it's just like jumping.
But then you see those people like who speed run it, and it's amazing. They like an orangutan, just like one hand. They get enough momentum to like loop over whole walls and stuff like that. Mm.
I'd love to see a speedrunner try and do it with Hayden. Who would? They'd go to orangutan over a wall. He'd grab their head,
pull them down.
He'd be like, oh, another thing. So if he got sick of holding my head, like, all right, let's climb the wall. And then he'd jump up on the wall next to me and we'd just swing into each other. So neither of us got momentum. And he's like, get out the way. I'm like, I was doing it.
Oh, that's great.
I hate him. I hate him as a man.
How angry did you get? Like, what level?
So we were playing this on Twitch.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where...
On Twitch.tv.
Twitch, where would I go to find that?
We were actually playing it on twitch.tv/Doucha Forever and twitch.tv/Hayden. Where we were live streaming this on the website we just said.
So you had to keep you cool.
No.
Lost it instantly.
Yeah. We got about 2 hours in and we had traveled we'd restarted level a couple of times. We'd fought so much that we could see the start of the level still, and it was 2 hours into the stream.
Wow.
And I muted the Discord call and then opened free whale sounds and just listened to a relaxing YouTube mix. Whilst on his stream, he minimized the game when he realized I wasn't listening to him and started playing Tony Hawk instead.
Oh, my God. That's fabulous news.
And because there was no donation goals, I didn't even really like make money or get anything out of it except just very angry.
Just upset. Yeah. That's awesome.
But like just as a...
Yeah.
So most games, if it's a co-op game.
Sure.
And one person, you have two different play styles or one person doesn't know what they're doing.
Mm.
Or even one person's kind of fighting the game. You can usually make it happen.
Yeah.
But Human Fall Flat got to a point where I'm not good enough and don't really know what I'm doing enough to power through stuff by myself.
Yeah.
And he is so annoying.
Wow.
Just
a friendship ruined.
Yeah, basically.
That's amazing. Will you ever play it with him again?
Yeah, probably.
Will you ever speak to Hayden again?
Yeah.
I spoke to him and he was like, what do you mean? It was fun. And I was like, I do not know what you could possibly mean.
What bit of that was enjoyable?
Although there was some highlights. So the water level was the one that just ruined us. But there was one part where we realized that we needed to go up this wall. It gave us a plank, a log, and an anvil, and we're like, easy.
Yeah.
And stand on one, drop the anvil on the other thing, shoot us. And we're like, how we do that? We're like, well, if we jump off this, you fall out of the sky. So we spent like 20 minutes
trying to aim your flopping bodies.
Organizing it so that the flopping body that fell out of the sky landed on the end of the plank. And all of it did was we wasn't meant to be solved like that. Yeah. So my character's head got stuck and just got a really long neck. So its head hit, my head hit the top of the plank that was sticking up in the air.
Yeah.
And my body hit the ground. So then I just had a really long neck for a second.
No. Well, that's good.
And Hayden launched about 4 millimeters into the air. We then gave up and just climbed the wall.
Yeah, that's fair. Get a brute force at some time.
So how many thumbs?
Yeah.
I feel like that if I could cut my thumbs off so I don't accidentally play this game again, I would.
Okay.
And knowing that in my future I might have to play this again makes me very unhappy.
With Hayden.
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe I'll just start at the next level.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, when you play this game, it's not like a story progression. Yeah. It's just like the levels are in order.
Yeah.
But when you start the game, it's like, which level do you want to start with? It's not like, here's your previous save.
Yeah.
What a level. Maybe we beat that.
Maybe it's not for you.
Maybe
put that in the bin. Although, from memory, after the water level, there's a lot of vehicle driving. Oh. So
that's fine. I can run him over.
Yeah, that is true. No, yeah.
Boats are bad because if you fall out of the boat, you drown, and then your boat is...
Yeah. But you can drive certain trucks off the edge.
Yeah.
But they respawn.
Oh, that's right, they do too.
Things but far away.
Honestly, this sounds like heaven.
Well, that's good to hear.
And the frustration isn't just like my way to Hayden's. Hayden would also get frustrated with like me because I had played the game before and he hadn't. So I could occasionally climb over a wall or something like that, but and he couldn't. And he'd be angry, be like, no, don't go that way. I can't go that way. Or I'd swing on a rope.
This is giving me such like older brother playing with younger brother energy right now.
That was Chad agreed.
Yeah. There you go.
The fact that I muted him and then he just minimized the game and stopped playing so I could play Tony Hawk was such a power move.
That's so incredible.
He gotcha.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing
But then I got way better when I wasn't listening to his stupid voice and was listening to whale noises instead.
His stupid voice and his bad opinions.
Stupid voice, bad opinions, his annoying head. You looked at him before?
Yeah.
Infuriating.
So I guess a white hot thumb from Joel Nusha.
The thumb equivalent of staring into the sun.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Just angry thinking about it.
Fair.
Let go of my head, Hayden. Let me climb this wall. I don't care if it's boring. At least then we'll be done with this level.
Yeah, that is fair. I guess getting into the whole month of shame, which I might start just extending further and further because I have a lot of shameful games not touched. But one of them was so on the Xbox Game Pass, it's one of the ones I first downloaded because I'm like, I've heard about this game.
Yeah.
Vaguely, and I really want to play this game because it has rats in it. So the game I'm going to talk about today is A Plague Tale Innocence.
I remember that, kind of. Yeah,
which is honestly like probably one of my favorite game experiences of this year. And like, so it's an action adventure horror stealth game.
Cool.
And it's all set in like 1300s France.
Oh. The plague.
Yes.
Ah, rats. Yes.
Rats. And you're playing, I'm trying to get a name because it's like, it's a French name that I'm like, it's Amicia, I think is her name. How do you pronounce it? I'm very bad at pronouncing names. So Amicia is who you're playing. She's like a teenage girl and you opens up and you're going hunting with your dad and your dog's there and you're like, I'm going to be good. I have a slingshot. I'm great at hunting. Yay. And then something happens and your dog gets eaten.
Oh, that's good.
Dead dog to start the game.
Yeah. I know. You're like, okay.
What a beginning.
What a beginning indeed. And then you sort of progress forward and then it's like you go back to town because you're like, something just ate my dog and this is crazy. And your dad's like, something just ate the dog. This is crazy. Go to your mother. And you're like, Mom, something ate my dog. And she's like, go to your room.
Do you see the thing that eats your dog or do you just see that your dog has a bite out of it? What happens?
Oh, your dog gets taken into a pit.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was imagining a bush. A pit is spooky.
The bones come out? Does a skeleton dog come out? Does it spit it out? Does the bush burp? It's a dog skull. And then Jackson runs out and picks it up and then unlocks a door because it's Resident Evil also. Dog head.
True, dog skulls.
Yeah. But no, unfortunately that doesn't happen. Your dog just dies. And which is traumatic. So and then you're like, hey, Mom, something's going on, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, leave me alone. We got to do this, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, go see your brother. And, like, your brother is, like, a very sick child.
Oh, yeah.
And in the story, like, you haven't really met your brother much because, like, as soon as you introduce, you're like, hey, I'm Amicia, your sister. And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then it kind of becomes basically like a giant escort mission. And that's the game.
Oh.
So
sister, I'm sickly.
Yeah.
His name's Hugo. Oh,
that's not very French.
That's a sickly name. It's massively French. You're an idiot.
I am. I associate it with English. I don't know why.
Victor Hugo? Go on.
Let the record show that my face didn't change when Jackson said that to me.
So then it's like these people who are coming to town and being like, there's like what they call it, like the bite.
Oh, yeah.
So the plague starts off as like, you know, this the bite and there's people being infected and this kind of stuff. And so these like crusadery people here and they're trying to like find your family. And so you see your dad get beheaded and then you know, you're fleeing with Hugo and your mum and then like you have to run and she sacrifices herself and those kind of things.
So it's just you and Hugo.
Yeah. And then it's very similar, I found, in terms of playstyle to The Last of Us. I think, JD, out of all of us here, you would enjoy it about as much as I did. I think, Jack, it's too story-driven.
Yeah, it sounds
like there's a lot of rats. And you do love rats.
I do love
rats.
But are they
the villains or the heroes of this game?
A bit of both.
Oh, my God.
Hero rats.
At some point, it's rats fighting rats.
Rats on rats.
What's that rat game on Steam that everyone hates and is often called the worst video game?
Bad rats?
Yeah.
Yeah. Play it.
Have you?
No.
Oh. Sounds bad.
But it's like 40 cents or something.
Okay, I'll play it.
Yeah, you should. Bad rats.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
Okay, what if... Okay, so obviously you've read the word bad rats, but no one's ever been like, bad rats to
you. Yeah. No, the tone sold it.
And so as you go along, you're exploring more of France and you're trying to like, you know, find... Because Hugo is quite sick, so you're trying to find a cure. So like one of the things is like, oh, I got to go to basically a doctor and deal with that. Well, that's there. But while that's happening, sometimes like rats will spawn and then you have to kind of basically like stealth around. So you have to A, avoid the rats, and rats hate light.
Yeah.
And also B, avoid guards who will just stab you, a little girl. And it sucks. I have watched Amicia die so much.
God
and it
damn.
Reminded me so much of... some of the Lara Croft games.
Oh, yeah.
Where you would just watch Lara Croft like fall to her.
Yeah,
her
you'd doom be like, and, like, oh, wow,
snap
that's
her
just...
neck. And you're like, oh,
they just showed that. Grizzly.
Yeah, so, yeah, like, yeah. I'm like, okay. Oh, she got an arrow through the belly. And oh, there she goes. Okay. Oh,
so,
there
dead little boys and girls and hiding from rats. And this isn't a Jackson Bailey special.
It's very story driven.
Can you skip the cutscene?
Of course, you can skip this cutscene.
Wow.
but, like, there is like a level up system in terms of like your gear.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you know, it's a crafting system. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you're crafting, like, you know, a better thing for your slingshot or, like, way you can throw more, like, rocks at people.
Yeah.
And so, there's a lot of different ways you can complete a level. So, you can be like, I'm trying to stealth this, or you can go full barbarian.
Oh, yeah.
Hit rats with rocks.
Hit guards with rocks.
Kill a guard. They're going to kill you. It's fine.
Yeah, I know. Because it's like one of the first, as you're fleeing, people are like, you're that sick boy. You're the one that did it. And they're like trying to kill you.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, man. And so you got to run from these villagers who think you're the problem. And then one of those, like, is like the very first time you use your sling to kill someone. And it's what I really liked what this did, which was kind of dealt with that. Amicia being like, I killed a person. Holy shit. I didn't. There was going to be me or them. But I'm feeling bad because I killed somebody.
A classic video game thing that they love to not explore. Mm. Like, Nathan Drake just mows down person after person after person, and then he's like, I have to save one life. You know, like, it's good when a game delves into that.
So it does delve in a little bit, like, not like a heap
a while, but at least acknowledges.
And then when, like, you do, if you have the option to kind of, like, stealth it and, like, either, like, incapacitate someone or just, like, brain them. I always chose braining because that was the easiest option. She always felt bad. She was
It's funny if you think about that in the context of the first Lara Croft game, where one of the interesting things that game did is that when you first kill someone, it's also the first time Lara's ever killed anybody, and she's like, oh my god, oh my god. But then by the end of the game, you're mowing down enemies and she's like, take it all of you. And that's weird because that's like the opposite lesson. That's like, Lara Croft kills people now. Thank God.
Yeah, wow.
God bless.
Like, in this one, a lot of
them... She finally got there.
Especially if Hugo is there, your baby brother.
Yeah.
She's just kind of like, has to almost reassure the kid and herself, but like, it was either us or them.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of... I got a nice relationship that kind of builds throughout the... as you keep playing it. And I really love the world building. Like, you meet these, like, people that kind of join your party in a weird way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, eventually one thing is like, right, I need to go to this castle, because if we go there, we're going to be safe from the rats, safe from the people who are hunting us, and we can kind of, like, work on this cure for Hugo. And so then you go there and then you're like, sweet, we now have a castle, and you kind of clear it all out. And then it's kind of just like a, I think it's like a 3 months or 3 week later, like flash forward.
Yeah.
And like, oh, my cool, it's cool. I have a base, which is a castle. Yeah. And so there's like, I just loved playing in this world. It was so much fun. I really, really enjoyed it. It's pretty quick. Like, it's pretty short game. Yeah. You could probably get it done, like, probably in a weekend or, like, 2 weekends.
Now we're talking. Now it's back into my type of game. You said crafting. I was like, this is still Jackson.
But the crafting is not even that, I guess, important. It just kind of helps you out in terms of, like, gameplay.
So you can reinforce your rock.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be one which is, like, one rock. You can carry more rock, or you can carry more ammo, if you move your sling, it doesn't make as much noise, so people aren't gonna, like, you know, oh, there they are, and stab you.
Mm.
Also, like, it's like, you know, in sort of stealth games where, like, the moment you found out, you get stabbed.
Mm.
There is some of those kind of levels, but there are, most of them are like, you know, they'll start attacking you. You can dodge, and you can, like, take
a couple of hits.
No.
One hit death regardless.
But, like, you can dodge and you can kind of, like, save it. But I was never that good, so I always had to just kind of, like, go back to the stuff, 'cause I was bad. Like, you can upgrade it so, like, say, your usual slingshot, it takes off the helmet. And once they take off the helmet, then you can brain them again. So it's they'll take two shots to kind of take down. And again, it's a lot of fun. And it was, like, a lot of fun. I mean, it falls into that same problem like a lot of stealth games have where, say, like, you kill, say, one guard.
Yeah.
Or take them down, and the guard's like, what's going on here? Mm. What are you, sleeping? Get up. Mm-mm. Oh, no, someone has killed my friend. Yeah. Okay, we'll have a look for him a bit. And they go looking for him,
the
and
classic
then eventually
Batman
they're like,
All
right, everyone's cool.
Mm,
we'll go back to our... They must have moved on, which I guess is like a bit more than must have been nothing. But I guess they've moved on.
But it's still that it is not quite immersion breaking, but you're like, yeah, that's silly.
But it is very funny to be like, you know, come across like, hey, wait, friend, wake up. Why are you sleeping? And you brain that person, and then someone's like, hey, friend, wake up. What? Bad
brain
them.
Sleeping in a big pile here.
So that was very, very fun. Yeah. Towards the end, you know, you can get like sort of rat controlling powers.
That's cool.
And so then you start to, like,
be a rat.
Controlling the powers.
Is it because Hugo turns out to be a big rat?
No, but the plague is very much intricately linked with him. And there's a lot of, like, you know, conspiracies with the
rat.
Crazy crusaders and crazy, like, religious folk.
This sounds like the type of game that has two endings but makes you pick which ending you want.
No, just the one ending.
Twist.
Which is quite a nice. Yeah. Again, it's a very linear game, which I really, really liked.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, like it kind of is
tell me a story.
And it tells you it's such a really nice story as well.
Yeah,
it's just a nice story about family and survival, and it is just a real
and rats
and conspiracies.
Yeah,
and so towards the end of the game, you get to control like Hugo at one point because like. I really like the relationship they have between Amicia and Hugo in that they fight and sometimes he just runs off like a little dumb kid.
Idiot kid. They're trying to kill you, stupid little boy.
I know. and then Amicia's like, why are you running? Yeah. Oh my God, they are trying to kill us, you stupid little boy.
Yeah.
And then he gets captured and you got to rescue him and all those kind of things that happen.
They should have killed him.
I agree, dude.
Because they're killing you every time they see you, but they
when they capture
boy.
You,
but the
like,
thing is, they want to kill me, they don't want to kill the boy because little boy holds the key to certain things.
He's magic.
He's
rat magic.
Control rat. They're like, wow, we're really jealous of his rat controlling powers.
You're not that far off.
Yeah, that's fine.
Give him to
me.
We want to see what. Give us a go. We want to see what being a rat's like.
I
want to
see what I could do with a bunch of rats.
Once again, you're not that far off.
I know. That's a reasonable assumption.
I was like, here's my remote control rat. It controls real rats.
I would be like, can I have a go?
Yeah.
That's cool.
No, you'll have to kill me with a rock.
Done, dude.
And it's like, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, no. My folly was admitting the thing.
It's a lot of fun. It's like a lot of grossness as well. Like you're like, ew, gross, big piles of rats. At one point, rats make a giant swarm, like a whirlwind, and then they come towards you, and you got to stop that. I think it's a very pretty game. Like some of the graphics are like, oh, okay, it's a little bit dated or it's not made by like a AAA company, so you can kind of tell that. But then at the same time, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
you know, there are a lot of little secret things you can find, but also you can be like, not for me.
Yeah, yeah. How many thumbs? What are we talking?
This is like a five-thumb game. Actually, maybe four thumbs and a knuckle because it loses here because this is a game I clocked kind of.
Okay.
So I clocked Asterix. Uh-huh. You see, towards the tail end of this game, when I was in the middle of, on my way to clocking it myself.
Yeah.
The Xbox made a god-awful sound. went
And, oh my god!
I'm like, this is a strange sound.
Yeah.
Mm. So then I quickly turned off the Xbox, and I was like, okay, well it's fine. I'll just turn it back on and go to my latest save.
Yeah.
So I fired it back up, and there it was. They were like, hey, you remember that first level where you had 20 minutes of gameplay into this game? And I was like, yes, that is the only save you have now.
Oh.
And I went, oh.
Oh, that is a shame.
And then he went to, let me guess.
So then, yes.
www.
Yes.
Dot.
Yes.
YouTube.com. Oh,
certainly did.
Oh, yeah.
A Plague's Tale, Innocence.
Uh-huh.
Ending.
Uh-huh. No, I went gameplay.
Oh.
Because I'm like, surely there's someone that has played through this game, so yeah, I didn't have to. Because again, I think if it had happened maybe like 2 hours in, I'd be like, ah, I'll cop that.
Yeah,
but I was like an hour from the end.
Yeah, that's
That sucks.
That's also a fair thing to take a bit of a thumb off for.
Yeah, that's very reasonable.
And so I had to watch an annoying man play this game that wasn't me. And there was like, you know when you're like I'm not a great video, I'm not a gamer, as you say. I bumble my way through a lot of situations.
Mm. Yeah.
But like, you know, when they're making the decisions, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Oh my God, stop doing that.
If you are looking for that kind of
feeling. Sometimes I am.
I think that you should head to twitch.tv/JacksonBailey or twitch.tv/DushaForever.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
If you want to see people play video games and make questionable decisions constantly to the point where you're yelling at your computer, what a place to
be. You want
to
watch somebody play a game, your favorite game often, in a way you will no doubt find frustrating. And I'm your man.
It's frustrating watching someone play like and then doing like very basic things, either like, you know, like, oh well, you know, you just got to go left instead of right. What are you doing? Or don't do that. Do this instead. Or why are you this boss fight, which looked like a fun boss fight? Mm. Why are you cooking it so badly? And then having their own dumb commentary over the top, and I'm like, shut up! I want to listen to the story.
Mm.
So that definitely took a
lucky
little bit
it only
off
took off half a thumb.
Well, that's not on the game. No,
yeah, that's
true. On the guy. That's was he? Guy. For some reason, I'm imagining being British.
No.
Yeah.
The governor, we got a
time
bloody
to play a plague. No, to play a plague tale. And like again, there was certain things. So like I hadn't quite gotten to in the crafting system. I hadn't quite gotten to the end of like one of them, and I was curious, to see what would happen when that happened. But he hadn't have done it. He didn't do the crafting the way I would have done it. So he had left a few things unupgraded, and I was a little bit miffed.
Will you ever go back and play it again?
No.
Yeah,
no,
that's fair enough.
No, I might
play it.
Yeah,
but Resident Evil 7 first.
Yeah,
I honestly think you would. JD, I think this game would be right up your alley because again, it's short enough, but it does have a lot of like the Last of Us kind of vibe.
Well, let's find out how long to beat.
Let's
find out which game takes the least to beat, which will be the first one I play. Resident Evil,
7.
I reckon Resident Evil 7's like a 25-30 hours.
Jesus,
maybe less. I don't know. That was a stab in the dark.
Have another guess.
15.
9 hours.
6.
So you were feeling 25 to 30 hours.
Throwing out random numbers.
Okay, the average playtime of Resident Evil 7 Biohazard is 9.5 hours.
To be honest, that's probably more reasonable. Yeah.
Oh, wow. The real answer is more reasonable. Thank you, Jackson.
Yeah.
Plague Tale.
Yeah. What are we betting?
I think we're at about like maybe 12 hours.
Well, 10 and a half hours.
There you go.
Damn.
Gotta flip a coin and play Resident Evil 7 first.
Yeah.
But I think if you want a story-based game that, you know, can kind of like, you know, tells a very good story.
Yeah.
And you don't want to, I guess, put the many, many hours into, say, like a Last of Us.
Yeah.
Mm. I highly recommend a Plague Tale. It is such a fun game. Really right up my alley. And I love the world. I love the world building. There's like a whole chapter where I have to like walk very carefully through a lot of dead soldiers' bodies.
Yeah, cool.
And it's really kind of cool because like they acknowledge that. And then she's very much like, Hugo, do not look at this. But he a little boy with eyes. He can see it.
Yeah. He look
and he traumatized. And he traumatized.
That happens.
Yeah. So yeah, no, great game. Highly recommend it. It's free on the Xbox Game Pass, and I think it's on PlayStation 4 and maybe the PC.
Wow,
PlayStation 4.
All of Joel Zammert's pull quotes from that review on the cover.
Yeah,
Last of Us Lite, It's on the Game Pass and the PlayStation 4.
Stop.
Anyway, before we get to the next part of the show, which some have called the best part, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, have you been on the fence about joining Sans Pants Plus? I get it. There's too many tiers to choose from, it's all a bit confusing, and what if you don't like what us bumblefucks do? Well, don't worry. For this month only, we're offering you a 1 month free trial subscription for Champs if you use the coupon code RATBOY. That's RATBOI. You can listen to the several bonus D&D campaigns, over 100 episodes of Jackson Bailey Spooks America, and all of the Hey D&D, It's Me, Adams, and much, much more. But perhaps that's not enough. Perhaps you want to see how the bourgeois live. Well, in this special introductory offer of just $5 for the first month, you can be a Sans Pants King with the coupon code RATKING. That's RATKING. Listen to the weekly saga that is D&D is for Kings, or perhaps our foray into the world of darkness with our mini-series, The Spirit of Lonely Places. We have a lot of content on offer, and it's just sitting there begging to be listened to. Just head to sanspantsradio.com/plus to become a member today using either coupon code RATBOY for a free month of Champ, or Rat King for $20 off your first month of a King subscription.
Thank you, sponsors.
Thank you.
And the trick was the best part was actually the sponsors.
Yeah, yeah. Time for the worst part of the show.
Which is more thumb cramps. So, these people have emailed us at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com. And you too
you can as well.
You too. Do that.
You too.
And
you
from,
too.
Yeah. Bonner, if you're listening, you too can email this.
Yeah.
I'll accept emails from Bonner. The Edge. Larry Clayton.
That's a fake name.
That might be the end unless you want to pop a blood vessel trying to remember more members of the band U2.
The Edge again.
Yeah.
It's Larry Mullins Jr. and the other guy's name's not Larry, but it's something Clayton. Anyway, let's forget about you two and start focusing on Sean, who has emailed us saying, "Hey, Thumb Cramps, I've been listening for a few weeks now and decided to send an email. New listener.
Oh, welcome, Sean.
Thought this show would be unbreachable at this point. Glad to hear we're still getting new listeners. You might be part of that random boost we got.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's nice. Welcome to the show.
Well, I hope you've been enjoying yourself.
I've been playing a lot of Dark Souls 3 recently.
Oh, yeah.
And the bosses are hard as.
Yeah.
But immensely satisfying to kill. Yeah. One of the Thumb Cramps boys' favorite bosses to finally kill. And that is funny wording.
Yeah, that's good.
What's a boss you like to finally kill?
The boss I like to finally kill, it would be the boss for Rayman 3 Hoodlum Havoc.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So that boss has like 6 parts and each one is very different. It's like a big guy that you got to fight. Then he gets even bigger and you got to run up his arm and punch his head. Then he starts floating and you got to do some platforming around him and hit him when you can. And then once you finally get him, he just becomes a little black lum, which are like little fairies, and he's just like, "Oh shit, don't get me, don't get me." And you just go up and punch him, and he's done. So that was real satisfying. It's a real good boss. Hoodlum 3 Havoc.
Yep.
I think mine would
be one of the bosses in Hollow Knight. The Dung Beetles. Is it the Dung Beetles? One of the ones that the
Mantis Lords.
No. The Roly Boys.
Yeah, they're the Dung Beetles. Yeah. No, they're not Dung Beetles. I know the ones you mean.
With the statues.
Yeah, they smash out of statues. He was giving you a lot of grief.
Oh, the Watcher Knight.
Yeah.
Those lads, because my lord, I think I bursted a few blood vessels trying to fight them. But
Switch is a bad console shape because it makes you want to bite to the console out of frustration.
Or snap it over your knee. Like a skateboard.
Do a Bane.
But
no, like that fight, whilst immensely frustrating, was extremely satisfying when I finished it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think any of the bosses in Hollow Knight. I've never experienced anything quite like Hollow Knight. Or that spooky one in Hollow Knight where it's like they've got like a lure that's you.
It's the upside down face.
Yeah, it's like, oh, is that a lad that I can fight? Or like say hello to? Who's this new friend?
Oh,
then it's a nightmare.
Oh no.
I hated that.
Yeah.
Much like everything with Hollow Knight, this is a part of the game where like, what?
Yeah, get ready.
And I'm far in it
now. Get ready. That guy's terrifying.
It's one of the scariest boss fights in the game. It sucks.
Yeah. I know why everyone was telling me to go to the bank now because they steal your money, but then you go fight them and you get your money back.
Yeah, they're in the spies.
It's so funny. Yeah. Go back to the bank, it just falls over.
Give me my money.
Gotcha.
It's good.
Got me, boys.
Yeah.
mine is Eric Sparrow from Tony Hawk Underground.
Oh, great choice.
He steals you doing a McTwist over a helicopter, and he edits himself into doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Dog
act.
But then at the end of the game, you have to follow his skate line. I almost said route, but no. You follow his skating line, you beat him, and then you get the tape back. But then when you replay that level, because that's hard, you just punch him in the dick and take the tape.
Oh, that's
There's
great.
No, you don't have to replay that part. That's good.
That's so good.
I hate Eric.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, he's the worst.
The biggest villain.
Mm. Mm. Ganondorf in Ocarina of Time is also a satisfying boss fight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. True.
Not as satisfying, I felt, in Breath of the Wild.
No, yeah, no. I agree. Yeah. The Breath of the Wild fight was just like every other one, really, I think. Yeah.
Well, I guess that's all those bosses we'd love to finally kill.
Yeah.
All right, and now we have an email from Riley. Hey, Thumb Boys. It's a chill Saturday morning here in Michigan. So I'm kicking back with some of your new podcast, Baseless Speculation, new episode every Wednesday. They didn't say the new episode every Wednesday part. I did.
This is also part of the email.
City Skylines, a thing that Jackson has been playing.
Twitch.tv/JacksonBailey.
Again, something they did not include in the email, but we're saying. My question is, what are your go-to games on a relaxing Saturday morning? I usually go with a city or empire builder. Like the Civilization games. Keep on gaming, Thumbers.
My relaxing game is Notable Pyramid Scheme Red Dead Online. Famous scam Red Dead Online. Because it's such a beautiful world, and I'll just jump into it. I will get rid of my mini-map. I'll get rid of all of my HUD. I'll just have the little compass, which just gives me like a directional arrow. And I will be like, well, let's just quietly walk around and take in the sights. And if there's like a random encounter, which are very rare and not very fun, but if any of them turn up, I'll do them and I'll just see what happens to me in the world. And I'll do that for like an hour or so, and I find it very relaxing. City Skyline I don't find relaxing. I am often out of money, and I put my sewage intake output near my water intake to poison the residents.
Why did you do that?
Because I thought it was funny.
To poison the residents.
Was it funny?
Yeah. And then I got rid of it.
Don't
I got
you think you should maybe grow up for once in your life?
No.
And maybe build the city like a real person?
But then I got rid of it because I was going to put it further upriver, so the shit took longer to get into the people's systems. But then I didn't have enough money to build it again. So everybody's houses got full of sewerage. But that's not my problem.
No. They're video games. It's fine.
It's fake.
Yeah. I think in the relaxing kind of game, maybe Stardew is pretty one for me. That's very kind of simple to be like, oh yeah, I'll just see what my crops are doing.
Nice.
I think there's a big update recently.
Get back in. Sucked off once again.
Sucked off once again by some Stardew.
Yeah.
Mm.
What about you, JD?
I really like Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. That's a game that I can just pick up and play, especially because of the 2-minute runs. I can be like, ah, we'll just see what's going on.
Yeah, for sure.
The fact that's coming to Switch this year is terrifying.
So dangerous,
for me.
Yeah.
Another one I like, if it's just like, I don't really replay games very often. And it's the same with like all media, to be honest, except obviously like music. Like I will listen to the same song more than once.
Heard it once, no more.
That's enough.
Oh, that was enjoyable. Never again.
I'm kind of the same with you. It was like a lot of like films and even games. I'm like, I very rarely go back and play a game again. I mean, Burnout Paradise is a fun game to jump.
That's actually was going to be something funny because smashing cars together is fun.
Yeah, it's always satisfying. So that's true.
Smash Bros. Occasionally. Oh, yeah. Like I'll just pick up. I haven't played it in ages, but like when I'm in like a, sometimes I'll go through phases where I'm in like a Smash Bros. Room, which I'm, admittedly I haven't played in a very long time, but I would just pick it up
during that time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. That's fair. I think a lot of Nintendo games, like even Mario Maker for ages was a game like that for me where I could jump on, grab a random couple of levels, play my way through them, never touch it again for a couple of months. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty much all of my gaming at the moment is just Hollow Knight, whatever I'm playing on Switch and, whatever I'm playing on Twitch.tv/DushaForever. And I just stop playing Hollow Knight when I want to relax because that game is not relaxing at all. And final email.
Yeah.
And this is from Mark. Hey there, thumb. Hey there, thumbing it in, folks.
Okay.
Recently, I purchased Werewolf Apocalypse because I thought it was going to be a transform into a werewolf and kill some fellas game.
Yeah.
However, it was more a stealth around as a normal wolf than transform into a werewolf when the game dictates game. Boo.
Yeah, that sucks.
I hate stealth. Also, being a werewolf was about as button mashy as I have ever encountered. Added to the fact that the camera was truly awful, how is it 2020 games still have shit cameras?
Mm-hmm.
Well, 45 quid later and I played about 2 hours and gave up.
Ooh, that sucks.
With that said, what game has disappointed you the most? I feel like it might be Mario 64 for Zaman.
That's fair.
Thanks for sucking me off every week. Lots of love, Mark.
Welcome. You're welcome, Mark.
Yeah, no worries.
It's
a disappointing game. Look, that was a disappointing game.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I'm trying to think of games that I've got, like, I've been, like, excited for to be disappointed by.
Okay. So this is maybe one of the very first games that I ever purchased on Steam.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I know this one.
I'm like, all right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious.
This is a very popular game. People talk about it a lot.
What I'm looking for is like maybe a platformer.
Mm.
This could be a lot of fun. So I, search a platformer. And I think, it's got a lot of scores, like, you know, very positive reviews,
for
9 out of 10, all this kind of stuff, and being like, oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, this kind of reminds me of, like, in those, like, early Rayman.
Yeah, totally.
Those kind of things. Like, I like a bit of platformer. Mm. It's called, it's like Elysium.
Dust Elysium.
Dust Elysium Tail, or something like that.
Yeah.
One of the worst games I've played in my goddamn life. Yeah. I think I got maybe half an hour in. This was before Steam did, refunds.
Yeah.
I'm still furious about this game. It sucks. I hate it.
I remember
it's like
game.
Anime garbage.
Yeah,
it was one of the most annoying voice acting I've ever heard in my goddamn life. I hate that game. I hate it so much.
I remember
that
game.
That I'm reminded of it.
I think it was free on the PlayStation Store really early, and I was like, I'll grab it too. The same experience. The moment anybody talked, I was like, I want to be sick.
Mm.
I want to be sick specifically on my front, you know?
Yeah.
So that I look down and I'm like, I need to change of clothes.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking
for. That makes sense.
It, one of the most disappointing and angry games I've ever played. I hated it. I hate it now. I hate it then.
Yeah.
I'll hate it tomorrow.
I don't know if this is necessarily disappointing. I don't know if it's quite the right answer to the question, but I found Stardew Valley kind of disappointing because everybody was so immediately sucked off by it that it kind of seemed a bit magical. Like, I expected... As much as I was like, it doesn't interest me, I really expected...
Because you knew it didn't interest me either, and the same thing still
And
happened.
Yeah, exactly, and you got sucked off. So I kind of felt like, I'm like, well, okay, I'll start playing it. And I was like, it'll get me. And it never really did. I whacked slimes in a cave, and that was fun, but I didn't play it for... Picked it up, played it 3 times or something.
Yeah, because I was like, when I first played Stardew, it did not suck me off. I played it and I was like, got a bit far in, but I'm like, I just didn't grab me. But the second time, boy howdy, was I sucked off.
Yeah. It didn't ever suck me off really at all.
I felt the same with Animal Crossing, the New Horizons. I played that for a bit and I was like, and I'm done.
Yeah. Fair. What about you, JD?
So I think the ones that I can remember is like some sequels that I was expecting to cop big suck-offs from but didn't quite suck me off, because a lot of the time I'm not super excited for video games. Obviously, like, I really like Zelda games and I really like Metroid games. Whenever they announce a new one, I am excited, but sometimes I, especially in the period of time when Nintendo were kind of cooking it a bit, I didn't rush out and play all of them. So stuff like Metroid Freedom Force and stuff like that, I've never played. So like, obviously they seem like obvious disappointments, but never played it. But things I did play that I was like, this isn't as cool or as good as I wanted. Tony Hawk American Wasteland
beat
that way too quickly and was like, this isn't as good as Thug. It's like a step away from Thug and Thug 2. And another one was Age of Mythology.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, oh, cool, God powers. But like,
that was disappointing to play.
And then I think it's because what happened there was I then played Rise of Nations, which was a game that was exactly what I wanted Age of Mythology to be,
yeah,
which is like
fair.
Go from cave boys to laser boys.
Yeah. 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 Well, there you go.
Could there probably be something somewhere that I just can't think of?
Well, yeah,
I
mean, I'm kind of the same. Head,
like,
yeah.
I'm trying to think as well. I'm like, oh, yeah, probably definitely like those Age of Empires when I was playing those sort of RTSs. I'm like, was any kind of really disappointing? But
when I first played Dota 2, I expected me to be like, oh, yeah, I'll get sucked into this Dota craze, opened it, was like, don't know what I'm looking at, don't care. Got gifted that game from Hex from Good Game. I can't remember how that happened, but it was a very strange experience.
Weird. Cool. Messenger and be like, yeah, not into it.
Yeah.
Not for me. Sorry.
Because to give someone a game on Steam, you have to add them as a friend. So I might still have her as a friend on Steam. Maybe I'll let her know.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry to hear about your TV show that got cancelled 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Dota 2, not for me. Yeah. And they'll unfriend. I'll unfriend.
Yeah. Power move. That's the power move. That's good.
I don't know. I think, there's just like games that aren't for me and I wish they were for me, but they're not for me.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever actually, there's nothing I can think of that I've been massively like,
Fallout 76?
Nah, even that I knew was kind of going to be bad from the get-go, to be honest. Fallout 4 wasn't very good, so I didn't expect great things. And I'm really excited. I love Skyrim. I love the Elder Scrolls or whatever, but I know the new one's going to suck, so I'm not even going to be disappointed by that because I'm going to be like, well, yeah.
Yeah, give it like 3 years.
Yeah.
Then it'll be worth playing, maybe.
Exactly. I can play with mods or whatever and it'll fix all the bad stuff, but like I know it's going to be bad from the get-go.
It's really, I'm really... Oh, the No More Heroes spin-off game. That disappointed me. Oh,
that did disappoint you. That's right.
I reckon
right.
If I go back now and play it, I'll probably really like it.
Very possibly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky was pretty disappointing. Yeah, that's true.
I've heard it has really picked up.
Every trailer I see for a new DLC, and I feel like I see one every like 3 months.
Looks amazing.
I'm like, I should play that game, and then I don't.
My thing was, I played No Man's Sky when it first came out. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. It's a pretty empty game. This isn't for me. Played it again kind of recently. And it was pretty much felt like the same game, except I was just more confused.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I did the same thing and I was like, what? But I feel like, again, if I like put some time into it, I could enjoy myself. Yeah.
Know that video games lent into a part for a period of time where they were like, you need to read the wiki.
Yeah.
And have like a guide sort of open.
Yeah.
To play the game. But I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hollow Knight is occasionally veers a bit too much. And I'm like, hey! And then it settles itself.
Yeah.
After I yell at it. Yeah.
No, but I know what you mean. Too much thinking. I don't have the time.
And like, so stuff like Dota falls into that exactly. Like, you can't just, if the game can't teach you how to play it, maybe it should.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been Joel. And this has been a 14 and a half thumb episode. No, it's been a 10. It's been a 9.5 thumb episode. And my thumb was, I hate Hayden. My thumb has a mouth now. And the mouth says, I hate Hayden. And I'm like, fair enough.
Why does your thumb sound like Mickey Mouse?
Why does your thumb sound like Mickey Mouse, but also Hayden?
What do you mean? Oh, be nice to me.
Yeah, I've got be nice to him.
I hate Hayden. Hey, thanks for listening. Do us a huge favor and leave a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to this beautiful podcast on. Also, be sure to check out Sandspence Radio's objectively better gaming podcast, All the Small Games, hosted by Andrew Levins and John Valenzuela, two true professionals.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.